You got one or you good? Okay. I was about to send it flying. No, I wouldn't. I'd walk it over to you. I talked to Brother Woods. I think it was Tuesday he called me. They're primed and ready. They got everything taken care of. The moving truck will be there Saturday. They'll load it up. And first thing Monday morning, they'll be headed this direction. Of course, he is asking for volunteers to unload the truck. He says, all we got to do is get it in the garage because he's got to have the truck back to Amarillo the next day. It's a Penske, so there's no Penske here in Clovis. So he's got to get it back up there. So he says, U-Haul was, got what he said, it was something just didn't work out with the U-Haul truck, so he couldn't get one. Oh, it was $400 cheaper for Penske, is what he told me. So I understand. I definitely want to went with them too. I have 9 CDs. It's the Ellis family. It's one of our friends is in Mississippi. They are a bluegrass gospel band. They put out a CD. I bought 10 of them. Of course, I've kept one of them, but I have 9 of them. They are free of charge. If you would like to have one, just take one per family if you would. It's all good music. I've had one for a while now. They're a wonderful family. His daddy is a preacher, started a church in Mississippi. He's been there since 2002, I believe, is when Brother Ellis started that church and do a wonderful job, supported a lot of missionaries. Matter of fact, their oldest daughter is on the mission field in Papua New Guinea, in the jungles of Papua New Guinea. She went in as a school teacher, and she is a teacher there in Papua New Guinea. Been there for 3 years now. But they are a wonderful family, wonderful songs. Brother Earl and Miss Rhonda have one of the CDs. I gave it to y'all, 6 months ago or better? And you'll notice on the back of it, there's a young girl holding a fiddle. And she has wrote, and she's 15 years old now, but she has wrote 3 or 4 of the songs that are on here. She's done absolutely a beautiful job. But they're free. They're right there in that seat right there. I would ask that only one per family. If we run out, let me know, and I would gladly buy some more. It supports their mission. So if they don't have a place to play on Sundays, they go to Walmart parking lots or wherever, and they fire up everything and draw a cloud in and start giving the gospel. They're absolutely a wonderful family. If you have your Bibles tonight, turn over to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 and 19 to get the context, but we'll mainly be using verse 18. Matthew chapter 16. Make sure I grab the one. I won't be drinking John's water. Easy one tonight. So the children get... No, it is. It really is. I chose an easy one tonight. The children get approximately 10 to 15 seconds before the adults are allowed to answer. All right? So children, that means anybody under the age of 17 and under. Just making sure that's understood. 2 men in the Old Testament were known for their hair. Who was it? You know both of them? You know one of them? Samson is one of them. What is the other one? All right, adults. Who is the other one that was known for his hair? Absalom, yes. Actually, he cut his hair once a year, and I think it always weighed out to be 5 pounds. The key thing for their hair, though, is what? They both caused them trouble. Because we know the story of Samson very well, that his hair was shaved off. He lost his power. What happened to Absalom? Do y'all remember? Got caught in a tree. So, boys, it doesn't pay to have long hair. Just saying. Here we go. Continue with the church signs. I think this one, the first one, is pretty familiar. How will you spend eternity? Smoking or non-smoking? Dusty Bibles lead to dirty lives. It is unlikely there be a reduction in the wages of sin. Don't wait for the hearse to take you to church. If you don't like the way you were born, try being born again. Looking at the way some people live, they ought to obtain eternal fire insurance soon. Now this is a CH blank blank CH. What is missing? You are. People are like tea bags. You have to put them in hot water before you know how strong they are. God so loved the world that he did not send the committee. Some truth to that one. In the dark, follow the sun. Running low on faith, stop in for a fill-up. If you can't sleep, don't count the sheep. Talk to the shepherd. And the last one, avoiding the sun can be hazardous to your health. And that is a truth. That is a truth. Ms. Kerr, I'm right along with you tonight. It's pretty dry. If you have your Bibles and we have our places, let's stand. Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 and 19. The Word of God says, "And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on the earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Father God, we love you, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for the time that you allowed us to be here. Lord, I do pray for all the prayer requests that was mentioned earlier, Lord, and especially for little Anita. Lord, help that poor child, Father God, to continue to heal. Lord, to get the physicians that she needs or the therapy that she needs, Lord. And Lord, just help her as much as possible, Lord. We love her and she's special to us, Lord, and we just want to see great things for her. Lord, we do pray that you would get the honor and the glory out of this, and Lord, that a salvation would be wrought from all of this. Lord, we lift up the Wood family, hedge them about, protect them, Lord, as they start to load up and head out. We know the wicked one will be after them. Lord, we just pray that you would bind them and not allow him to have any effect on that precious family. Lord, we thank you for the moisture that you blessed us with earlier this week, and we pray that being thy will, you extend a little more. Lord, but right now, help us, Lord, to push out the work day, push out the stress of everyday life, and Lord, allow you to speak to our hearts. Bless the reading of your word into our hearts of your people, Father God, that we may be there forever. Hide me behind the cross and help your unworthy servant to preach. And Lord, may you be glorified tonight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The title of the night's message is Start with the Rock. Start with the Rock. We know that salvation begins with Jesus Christ, our rock. Christ told Peter, the Greek word for Peter is Petros, which is the little rock, that his church shall be built upon this rock, which is Petra, which is the great rock. Which was the truth that Peter said in verse 16. In verse 16, we know that Peter said, and Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." This is what churches are built on. That Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. This is what the very fact of Christianity is based on. That Christ Jesus is the Son of the living God, that he came down from heaven to die on a cross for our sins. John 3:16 says, "Of course, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son." John 20:31, "But there are written that they might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing ye might have life through his name." In John 1, 29, 34, and 36, the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which take away the sin of the world. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. All things in Christianity, the very word of Christianity is based on the thought that and the belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he is. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. We know that Jesus Christ is the very God in the flesh that came down and walked the face of the earth. If we can't believe in that, we're done. But Jesus Christ said, this is the basis of my church. This is where everything begins. And upon this belief, my church shall be built. Upon this belief shall come my bride. And this is where everything starts. And if Jesus Christ said that this is where his church starts, can I tell you that that is the basis of where we need to start? First off, our lives need to start with that. Our very lives need to begin with the fact that we believe that Jesus Christ said that who believe that he... My mouth is sticky. We believe what Jesus Christ said, that he is the Son of the living God. In order to be saved, we have to confess that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, that he died and he was buried and he rose again. And the belief that he was the Son of God that came and did all that just for us, that's the easy part. It is truly easy to be saved. But then after is where we start to have issues. Then after is where our faith starts to fail us. If we believe so easily that Christ came and died for us and for our sins, why is it so hard to do the rest? Shouldn't be. But that is the basis of where we need to start building our lives. On that very thought every day. We came to know him as our Savior and to love him. But do we think every day that he truly is the Son of God? Do we start our life every morning believing that Jesus Christ is who he said he is? Does a thought even cross our minds? I believe that we so oftentimes take it for granted and never give it a thought. Unless maybe we read the scripture and we come across it. And then maybe it'll prick our hearts a little bit. But can I tell you that our lives... every morning need to start with that very thought. That Jesus is who he said he is. The Son of the living God. And we start to build our lives on that foundational statement. Can I tell you that we're going to start making a lot less mistakes in our lives? Can I tell you that our lives are going to be unshakable for one reason? Because we put our faith in Christ and Jesus. Or put our faith in Jesus Christ every morning. If he is the rock that we're supposed to start with, why not start with him? If we're supposed to stay our feet planted on him. In the mornings, we need to think about it. In the middle of the day, we need to think about it. When we're going about our steps, we need to think about it. That Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and we truly believe in him, that our lives should be a testimony of that very statement. And it should. That our talk and our action, our words and our deeds should be a testimony of that very statement, that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. We allowed him into our hearts. We said that he was the beginning and in the end. We need to remember that. 1 John 5:5. Who is it that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God, and that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath the Son of God hath not life. He hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things I have written to you, that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know, and ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe the name of the Son of God, and we may know that the Son of God is come, and have given us understanding, that we may know him that is true, and that we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. You see, we don't even have true life until we have Jesus Christ in our life. And we have to be that, we have to believe in that true basis in order to have a successful life for Christ. We have to start with that fundamental building block. And from there, our faith grows. From there, it starts to build. But we have to acknowledge that. We have to think about it. And we have to believe it each and every day. 1 John 4:15 says, "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God dwelleth in Him, and He in God." Our life is our testimony. And our testimony should be that very verse, that we confess that Jesus is the Son of God. And we should live that way. Marriages should be built on the rock also. 1 Corinthians 13 says, "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. It is not easily provoked, or thinketh of no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Bearing all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things." Christ was not for Himself when He came. If Jesus Christ came out of love, a charity, an agape love, and died on the cross for us to set the example for His church, which is His bride, should our marriages not be based on the same thing, built on the same foundational rock that Jesus Christ gave us an example for? If He willingly came and died for His bride, if He willingly came and gave everything that He had for the ones that He loved, that needs to be the rock, the foundation of our marriage. So many marriages are crumbling today. The divorce rate is going through the roof. Why? Because it doesn't start with Christ. Why? Because it doesn't start with the Word of God. Why? Because marriages today have no foundation. Today's marriages, as you look in the military, it's horrible. They go through tech school, and John can testify to this. They go to tech school, be in there 6-7 weeks, and next thing you know, they're married. A year and a half later, if they make it that long, they're divorced. We see it all the time. Why? Because their marriage was sand. It was based on nothing. Our Lord laid a foundation for us, a building block, not only for our lives to be built off, but also that our marriages to be built off too. If we base our marriage on the Bible and what God has for us, if we love one another like Christ loved us, can I tell you we're going to make it? Can I tell you that nothing's going to bother our marriages? Young people, let me tell you, God has somebody designed for you. When He made you, He made a mate for you. And if you two come together as God has planned and start on the foundation of His love, that love's not going to be broken. That love's going to hold through the test of times. That love is going to be unwaverable. It don't matter what seas or what winds or what rains come about. If it's truly started in Christ Jesus and wrought in Him, it shall hold together. There's nothing that's going to fall off the rock if you stay on the rock. And if your marriage is your foundation, is built on Jesus Christ, it shall last forever. We need to start life on Christ. We need to start our marriages on Christ and then put our faith and trust in Him. Ephesians chapter 5 says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church." He gives us a perfect example. All the way throughout Ephesians, I'm not going to read all 15 or 20 verses for the sake of time. But throughout Ephesians, Christ refers to the marriage relationship as much as He loves us, His saved children. And that's how we're supposed to love our spouse, that we willingly give ourselves to them. Not only the husband, it's not only the husband's part, it's not only the wife's part, it is an equal union. The Bible says twain becomes one. And that's what we become when we become saved children of God. We become one with Him. our marriages should be based on the beliefs that we believe in, and that's Jesus Christ. And the next, America needs to be back on the rock. America needs to be back where it started, which was it started so long ago when they came over. It was started in the beliefs of the Bible. Psalms 33:12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance." George Washington says this, "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humble to implore His protection and favor." If our first president and the general of the first army of America said that we need to implore God, that we need to put our faith and trust in Him, that we need to rely on His strength, can I tell you that America was once great because we started on the rock? America was once a success because we started on the rock. America did many great things, built many great things, invented many great things. Our doctors at one time were better than all in the world. Why? Because we stood on the rock. We held our Bibles in one hand and a spear in the other. But can I tell you right now that the rock is eroding in America? The rock is no longer as big as it used to be. Why? Because we have allowed things to happen. We have forsaken the Bible in our schools and in our homes and everything else. We say that we want America great again. Can I tell you the only way that America is going to be great again is it gets back on the rock. If it gets back where it started. It has to have a firm foundation. Samuel Adams says this, "We have this day," which was the 4th of July, "restored the sovereign, to whom all men ought to be obedient. He reigns in heaven, and from the rising to the setting of the sun, let His kingdom come." John Adams said this, "The general principle on which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. I will allow that I then believed and now believe that those general principles of Christianity are as eternal and immutable as the existence and attributes of God." Can I tell you that we need Christian leaders again? We need men of God in the houses of Congress, in the houses of Senate. We need men of God in the president's position instead of what we got. But it starts here. It starts right there. It starts with God's people standing up again and proclaiming what's right. It starts with God's people believing that He is the Son of the living God and saying yes and no and believing and having faith and doing what we're supposed to do according to His Word. We got to where we don't say anything anymore. We got to where we don't open our mouths when we should. Can I tell you, it's time to start proclaiming that Jesus is the Son of the living God, so that we once again become the nation and put ourselves back on the rock. Isaiah 60 and 12 says, "For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted." Can I tell you we're getting there? Can I tell you that we're not serving God anymore? And you can see the decline in our children. You can see the decline in our society because we've fallen off the foundation rock of Christ. And then finally, churches. And I'm not talking about those that put church on their sign and call themselves a church. I'm talking about churches that are based on the book of Acts. Churches that stand on the Word of God. Acts 2:42, "And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers." Can I tell you, churches, if Jesus Christ Himself said that churches shall be built on the fact that He is the Son of the living God, then we should build our churches on that fact. We should get back to the purpose and the belief and act like we are His children. We should get back to the doctrines of the Bible and the principles that the apostles wrote down through the inspired Word of God. We should believe and obey. He said that he was built on that fact because that's the only thing that would last. That was the only thing that mattered. That was the only truth. And we have to get back to that truth. We say it with our mouths, but we don't live it in our lives. We don't proclaim it in our workplaces. Churches have to get back to being in unity with God. Christ prayed in John, in the Lord's Prayer, that all believers would have unity with God. What does that mean? That we would believe this. If Christ over 2,000 years ago would pray before he was taken, that we would have unity with God, that we would believe the Word of God and be one with him, he knew there was going to be a problem. Can I tell you there's a problem today? That most so-called Christians do not have unity with God. We believe bits and pieces of the Bible. Or we take out bits and pieces that we like. Or we turn bits and pieces to make it fit our lifestyles. That's not unity with God. Unity with God is agreeing with his word and doing it. Christ also then followed the unity with God. And he says that they would have unity with one another. Can I tell you that's an issue in our churches today? The churches no longer have unity with one another. We no longer love like we used to. We no longer care about each other like we used to. We no longer have that sweet fellowship that we're supposed to. Can I tell you, simple things should not bother our fellowship between one another. Simple things should not disrupt a church family. It shouldn't cause issues. Christ Jesus knew 2,000 years ago that there was going to be an issue. So he prayed that we would have unity with each other. A church cannot strive and grow unless we have unity with each other. First off, we had to have unity with God. And then we had to have that unity with each other. We sometimes may not like each other. That's understandable. Best friends sometimes don't like each other. You know, that happens. I can tell you sometimes God don't like us. You don't believe that? Look at the children of Israel. He loved them. God truly loves the children of Israel. He loves us, but sometimes he turned their backs on them because of things that they did. We have to agree on the Bible. We have to agree on the mission of this church. We have to agree on the way forward. And when Brother Woods comes and God lays a vision upon him, the unity needs to come together and push that vision forward. We have to be one. For a house divided falls. We have to be standing on the foundational belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as you also do." Can I tell you, we have to be united. We have to go forward together. An army that is separated will not conquer anything. Christ himself said his church shall be built on the fact that he is Christ, the Son of the living God. We need to build our lives on the same fact. We need to build our marriages on the same fact. We need to build America back on the same fact. And we need to build this church on the same fact. We need to get rid of the sand. We need to get rid of the pebbles and the rocks and to stand straight forward on the rock of Christ. The rock that makes our lives unshakable. The rock that makes our marriages unbreakable. The rock that will make America strong again. And the rock that Christ called his church. If you believed in Christ Jesus for your salvation, believe in Christ Jesus for your life, believe in Christ Jesus for your children, believe in Christ Jesus for your marriage, believe in Christ Jesus for your job, for your finances, for your everyday life. And can I tell you, believe in Christ Jesus even until your death. He is the foundation that will keep us standing through it all. How's your foundation? Is every bit of your life truly on the rock? Let's stand. Father God, you're the only foundation that has ever stood through time. You're the only foundation, Lord, that would never break. So many times we try to do it all ourselves. We try to stand on our own. We try to make our own decisions. We try to go about things our own way. Lord, if we're supposed to build your church, your bride on Christ Jesus, help us also to have the same faith to build our life on him also. For he is the only thing that will give us strength and hold us through the test of time. Lord, if there's any part of my life that I've not let the Lord take control of, have not put on his shoulders, show me what that is. Lord, have your will and your way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Have you given Christ your whole life? There is nothing in our lives that we should not put on the foundation of Jesus Christ. He is the solid truth that we can count on. He is the only thing that will never give way. He's the only thing that will never erode. He won't crack and he won't break. If you put your marriage on Christ Jesus, it will last. A church that is truly obeying Christ has never failed. And he has never left his children. Why not put your whole life on him? Allow him to be the basis of everything. The basis of your day. The basis of every step you take. He is the firm foundation that we need to grab a hold of and stand on. How about it? Have you even put your faith on him tonight? Are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? That's the first step. He'll gladly support everything that you have. You'll just put it on him. If you stepped off the rock, he'll gladly let you back on too. Well, amen. Come on down, Brother Allen.